Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, June 30th. I'm Ray Graff. Pets and Vets today, and joining us in the studio is Dr. Susan Ciculli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland. You know, the place is Just Cats, but she knows about dogs too. So I don't want to be exclusively about cats today. If you have a dog question, give us a call. If you have a wombat or a pet squirrel, you're out of luck. But if you got a dog or a cat, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org if you wish, but the number again is 800-348-2551. To recapitulate, dogs, yes, cats, yes, wombats, no, squirrels, definitely no. Dr. Ciculli and your pet questions coming up. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Pets and Vets today, and here to take your calls is Dr. Susan Ciculli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland. Often called the Cat Whisperer, Dr. Ciculli is a vet who has been specializing in feline care for more than 24 years. She focuses on the entire cat's health and handles from kittens to senior cats, and she addresses behavior and nutrition and medical and surgical care. But she is also here today on this very special edition of Pets and Vets to take your dog questions as well. And boy, she's excited about it. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email us as well at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Susan Ciculli, so nice to see you after all this time.
Ray, it is wonderful to be sharing the studio with you and looking across and seeing you in person.
Well,
it's been a tough year.
It has been a tough year. And you've learned some things about kitties and dogs.
We have, yeah. I brought it up just to mention it, that everyone that brought their animal to the vet over the last year had to do curbside, as we all know. They had to leave their animal. We either went out to the car or they brought it to the door. And what we found for cats, which was very interesting, is they didn't really mind the masks as much.
Cats had to wear masks?
Ha, nice.
Okay.
The masks on the people.
Oh, I see. Oh, now I understand.
Because they heard the voices, and they go by much more on the voice than facial recognition.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was. And when we would call the owner and they would talk on the phone with us, the cats would calm down. So it wasn't so as scary to them as I heard on the colleague side of the dogs. A lot of dogs had a little bit more trouble.
Very interesting.
Yes, it was.
You know, it's funny, talking about recognition, cats do get some visual cues. Let me give you a classic example that is from my history, and I've had several cats over the years, and I've had this hard plastic Batman helmet that I got when I was about 3 or 4 in the late 60s. So it's
I can picture it.
And I still have it. It's a Batman cowl, and it's got the pointy bat ears. If I put it on, and I haven't tried this with Mitchell, our current cat, but if I put it on, the cat automatically tails puff out, and the cat freaks out thinking that I'm a giant cat.
Cat,
yeah,
okay.
It's amazing.
That would make sense, right. So their reaction is to the cat, not to the person.
Yeah.
Right? Very cool. So it was, you know, as much as we all learned things about this whole COVID experience, this was a neat one for us. So what it did say to us is to be really careful about how we talk around the cats, even when the owner isn't there or not there, and to recognize that's what they're recognizing. More so than just us walking into the room.
You know, it's so funny, and we'll get to the calls in a moment. The number here is 800-348-2551, but I could talk about cats all day, and I have
too.
A feeling Dr. Ciculli could as well. I think cats really love music.
Yes. Yes.
Our current cat, who's been with us maybe 10 years or so, like love Sinatra and Basie and swing.
The old,
As soon as it's on, she hunkers right down and she's
too.
In. Yeah,
well,
it's amazing.
That makes sense.
This email came in from Lynn.
Okay.
My cat Pussums, 14 years old, has been constipated. Okay. Sounds like a children's story, doesn't it? We feed her science diet 11 plus dry food. I had to take her to the vet. They gave her an enema. She was better for a few days, but now is not moving her bowels or eating normally. She will not let us near her mouth, so we cannot pill her or give other oral medication. Any suggestions? Well, we're off to a flying start. Yes. What do you think, Doc?
You're going to talk to me about constipation. Thanks,
all right.
Ray. It will enforce my strong support for a canned diet.
Yeah.
It will go back to that. The dry food is just too drying. Cats are desert animals, so they need moisture. If they were to catch something out in the wild, it has blood in it, right? And
right.
Bodily functions. So try to switch them to a canned food. Try some natural products such as green beans, squash.
Oh, come on. Will a cat eat green beans?
Well, yes.
I won't even eat green beans.
And if the very least, Miralax actually works pretty good. Over-the-counter, stool softener, you can dust it to get them to start using that and then switch them over to the canned food. But address it now because that will become a chronic problem.
So. You know, we've often talked about cats and wet food versus dry food. But
yeah.
I firmly believe that some cats just love the comfort of the carbs and the dry food, and they'll gravitate toward that.
Same toward people, right. Yeah. Exactly.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Susan Ciculli is here to answer your questions on a Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. And who's calling from Westfield? You're on.
Oh, my name is Bob from Westfield. Hi.
It doesn't say, it says something that I can't even read. But it's Bob.
Go ahead. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Hey, I love your show, Ray, and it's one of my favorites.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to talk to the doctor. I have an 11-year-old golden haired Briard who is the most wonderful dog in the world. And for the last, our veterinarian has been in trying to investigate his retching and his vomiting and his very, his stool is very saucy. Saucy stool,
yeah.
I suppose that's something. And my question is this. We've done a lot of things. She's got us on a rice and chicken diet. He still continues to retch and occasionally vomit, and the stool is not helping. And somebody mentioned that he may be suffering from some kind of pancreas problem, and whether we should spend the money to have his pancreas looked into. And that's my first question. My second question is, last night he screeched in the middle of the night. He made this huge screech he was in pain, and then he became normal again. And I wondered whether he was having some – he has a little heart condition as well. So I don't know what the heck is going on.
Wow.
And, 11 years old, do you spend the money on an 11-year-old dog that you love, et cetera?
Well, thank you for calling in. First of all, congratulations. 11-year-old Briard is a good thing to have because they are a large breed that, you're right, doesn't live as long as our little toy breeds, for sure. If you've adjusted diet and gone to that route and still are not getting the results you want, then I do think a full workup is indicated. I think we cannot replace that ability, same as if we were to go to the doctor, right? We would try certain things and then, let's look.
Well, we've done all the blood work and everything, and I actually think he had some x-rays done, but the doctor hasn't done his pancreas, and I wondered if
there are some blood tests that would look at the pancreas, but the ultrasound or some further diagnostics would definitely be indicated, and I would think it's worth it. I would do it if he were my dog.
I mean, what's the average age for a dog like that, lifespan?
I think 12 or so,
Ten to twelve years.
Yeah, but you know what?
He gets everything he wants.
He could live to 14, right?
But, Bob, I see your moral and financial dilemma there.
Because
you could go do this and spend that money, and the dog may drop dead anyway, right?
No, it's exactly it. But yeah, we want him to be. That screech was just so. I've never heard the dog make that sound. So it's a terrible thing. We love him and we'd hate to. Well, that's good news in one sense that we you feel that we should spend the money. So I think that that's what we'll do with our money here.
Good for you, man, and good luck. Thanks for
Thank
the call.
Thank you. Good luck with him.
Dr. Susan Sekulli joins us today, 800-348-2551. And I tell you what, before we take another call, let's take one more email that came in, and then we'll take a quick break, and then we'll jump back to the phones. The number is 800-348-2551. This one is from Janice, who writes, I have a question, if there's time. Well, there's time. And the question is this. My cat, Marks, drools a lot and water drops from his nose. He is 10 years old and otherwise happy. And that's from Janice.
Ah, I guess it would depend on when he drools. If he's just doing it when you're petting him and he's happy and he's purring along, that's his ability to express pleasure.
Yeah.
If he's drooling because he's trying to eat and there might be something wrong with his mouth or he's in pain or there might be a mass in that mouth, then that there's two different reasons for that. So I guess I would recommend a physical exam and to examine that mouth.
I mean, what about the water dropping from the nose?
That sort of goes along with the drool.
Yeah.
Yeah, those both.
You know,
I think
could
he's
be
probably
worse.
Happy.
A happy drooler. And on that happy note, let's take a break here. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Susan Sekulli is here. It's Pets at Vets. We'll be back. I'm in the elevator heading to the third floor at Montgomery Ward's. It's not the case. We're here on Vox Pop, and Dr. Susan Sekulli is joining us today. Pets and Vets, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Now, there are two people from Kingston named Susan in a row, and one of them is probably correct. Let's spin the wheel. Is this Susan? Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Catherine from Kingston.
Oh, hello, Catherine. Well, you're on the show. Welcome.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to pick up. Yeah, I have two cats, siblings. They're about 3 years old. The male will eat wet and dry food. Sophie, the female, will only eat dry food. And I've tried every wet food there is, including the game, like the rabbit and the duck. And I'm just one. She gets a a high-end kibble. And we have two. One is a the science diet weight control because she's a little bit of a tubster, even she gets a lot of exercise.
Tubster.
Indoor cats.
I like it.
Yeah. And but is it healthy for her only to eat dry food? I mean, they drink a lot of water, but I kind of feel. I mean, my last two cats lived to be 20 years old, so.
And they were on dry food or canned food?
But they did have some kidney issues at the end, so I'd really like to avoid that and have her be as healthy as long as possible.
Yeah. Again, we will tell you, veterinarians will tell us more and more that canned food is better for cats, a little bit of dry for their teeth. I guess there's a 10% rule and a 90% rule, right? There are some cats that you can never get to eat the canned, but the best scenario I would tell you is offer it when they're kittens, when they're young. You know, if you keep reinforcing that at this age, you know, at the younger age, then they're more inclined to it. And my other suggestion is really don't offer dry except for late at night.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And Catherine it is. Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. Let's go over to, who's this? Hello, you're on.
Susan.
Is this
Hi.
Susan in Kingston, the famous Susan?
Yeah.
Well, we've been waiting for you.
Definitely. The most famous of all Susans.
Come on in.
It's a great name.
I have a question about my cat. She's 13 years old.
Yeah.
And I think she might be diabetic because she's been drinking an awful lot of water. And then she stopped, and now, you know, for a while. And I thought, okay, she's fine. And then she started up again. And I don't know what's going on. I really don't have the money to have her tested or to have medication for her. What can I do for her? She's eating mostly dry, but there is some canned food in the morning or in the evening.
if a cat were to come in and have a diabetic diagnosis, then we're going to suggest and switch them to a high-protein, canned-only diet.
Yeah.
So if you're concerned that that's what may be triggering this, then I would switch that. The challenge is it could be other things, right? It could be kidney failure. It could be other. So even a one blood test may be a helpful thing for you, not to go crazy with lots of diagnostics, but at least get that blood work
right
to know.
Well, otherwise, she seems to be very healthy.
Yeah, but that can progress. So I would address it.
Yeah.
But see, you know, I mean, if you switch her to a canned-only diet, right, and she doesn't drink much anymore, that means the dry food was causing her to drink a lot.
Yeah.
And I've seen that happen.
I've
seen that
too, All right, well, Susan.
Well, I also have a cat that's not quite a kitten, and I give the kitten, you know, maybe a little canned food in the morning and in the evening. My cat really, my older cat prefers the kitten food.
Yeah, that happens. That's okay.
All right.
But I'll remember that and I'll look into that. Thank you so
very
much.
Thanks a lot, famous Susan. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Now, Dr. Ciculli, we've talked on this program. I don't know if I've talked about it with you, but the consensus I get from the vets who are on this show doesn't really matter so much what wet canned food. I mean, there's some expensive stuff out there and there's some not so expensive. And the consensus I see is that as long as it's wet food, it's better than dry food.
I think that used to be. Now I think we're getting a little more conscious about what food that is, because even canned food can be made of meal and then moistened. And so I think you're wanting to look for quality canned food also.
Dr. Susan Ciculli joins us today. It's Pets and Vets. 800-348-2551 is our number. We go to Slingerland's, and who's calling?
Hi, this is Susie.
Hello. Oh, my God. So many Susie. Hey, welcome to the show.
That's why I got that comment when I called. She said, oh, another Susan. how do Dr. Susan Ciculli's last name, by the way?
How do you spell it?
Yeah.
It's S-I-K-U-L-E.
Okay, I would have had it totally wrong. Thank you.
That's okay.
I'm calling to ask about a one-year-old kitten who was adopted as when it outgrew its mother and being at home with the mother. And on the first vet exam, there was a small heart murmur. So now that vet won't fix the kitty, and the kitty's in heat every 2 or 3 weeks, and because she doesn't think it would be safe. What do you do in that kind of a situation?
That's a challenging position to be in. I agree, because yes, the ideal would be to work up that heart murmur, involve a veterinary cardiologist, and pursue the reason for that heart murmur. But if finances are less than comfortable to go that
route.
Very
much so.
Yeah. There are some tests that we can run, a blood test in particular, cardioproBNP, that gives us an idea of how that heart is working, not from a test-wise. And I guess you could, you know, assess it with how the cat's doing. Are you noticing any problems? Is she?
No, not at all. She seems to be very active and very lively.
Okay.
And if we took her to another vet that didn't know her and didn't say there was this little heart murmur, and the vet just did the
procedure, the spaying.
What are the chances the cat would be fine? You probably have no way of knowing.
Yeah, that's a hard one to tell. You know, we do procedures where, I mean, we'll typically always, even for ours, auscult the heart prior to any surgery. So if you were to bring her to any other vet, they would notice the same heart murmur and then caution you the same way.
Okay, and the cost of having a cat spayed, that's a big word I was looking for.
Yeah.
It varies, right? Because this family doesn't have a lot of extra dollars to spend.
Right. We really can't give you prices. Dr. Sekulli might ballpark it in a very general way, but prices are sort of a no-no in the public radio realm.
Right. Yes. Sure.
All right. Yeah. Well, go ahead, Susan.
Are there public? Are there places like training schools that maybe that would have a lower rate? Or
You could check with maybe the shelters. Locally, maybe if they have something for low-income spay and neutering. Yeah, might be an option for you.
That's a good place to start.
Thanks
a lot for the call.
Good luck.
Dr. Susan Sekulli joins us today. A lot of Susies and Susans on this program today. Let's try to mix things up a little bit here. We go to Jamie in Woodstock. If you say your name is Susan, you're off the show, Jamie. Go ahead.
No, it's Jamie.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, and Dr. Sekulli, thank you for taking my call. A few minutes ago, Ray brushed a little bit on my question about pet foods that are not all created equal.
Yes.
I have a new puppy now.
Great.
And I looked for an American, produced food. I do want to give kibble. I'm implementing with a raw diet.
Nice.
But my vet says, no, it has to have grain in it. And everybody's saying, no, grain-free, or else they'll die. And he says that the grain, in particular, the grain-free, it seems like it's mostly wheat, corn, and soybeans that everybody's leaving out because I don't know why. So what do I do? Do I do grain or do I do grain-free?
My personal feeling is that you could do grain or should do grain.
Why?
There are some studies out now that the grain-free is lacking in some nutrients that, especially on the dog side, they've done research at UC Davis where they are definitely concerned about that. And I guess
it's affecting the heart, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm not sure where the whole grain-free, not grain-free came in. However, it is marketing now.
It's an excuse to make it more expensive, that's for sure.
It's what I jokingly say. It's like gluten-free and gluten-free.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, gluten-free is healthier. And I'm like, is that true? So I like that you're offering a variety of foods. I think that's important for them. And do your research. There are some good, Cornell actually has a really good nutrition department that you can actually sign up and do some consultations even with them. So.
Great.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for the call, Jamie. 800-348-2551 is our television number. Okay, there you go. See, what happens is I'm screening the emails
at the same time.
At the same time.
Reading our notes.
And frankly, I'm just not that with it anymore. So let's go back to the phones and Joan. Joan, you mind if we call you Susan?
Well, I would mind because my name is Joan.
All right. Then you're on.
Come on, Joan. Play along.
Well, hello.
Maybe it's your middle name.
I can't. Well, that's Elizabeth. So,
okay.
Out of luck.
All right.
Well, hello, Dr. Susan. And hello, Ray.
Hello.
Hey, I wanted to talk about a concern I have about my 4-year-old cat. I have two cats that, if you look at their fur, they're almost identical. Beautiful, beautiful tortoise shell girls. But it's an Abbott and Costello thing. The 3-year-old is athletic and small. I know for a fact that cat has some Siamese heritage. So she's fine. The other cat, the 4-year-old, I don't know her heritage. Now, I suspect some Maine Coon cat, just based on her enormous size.
Yeah.
And she also has all the telltale markings, like the feathers that go backwards in her ears and the feathers between her toes and the ruff around her neck.
Mm.
Great.
But I don't know if that explains her poundage. but I have been trying to work on their diet. It's mostly canned food.
Excellent.
I only put down the kibble when the smaller one asked for it around noontime, and then I only put down a little bit more at night just to keep them happy overnight. The bigger girl, it feels like her skin is a little bit looser, so I think she is losing some of the extra weight she had, but her stomach is still really protruding. she's not pregnant, and she doesn't, you know, cough up hairballs the way I would expect a long-haired cat to do. Of course, today, as I was considering this call, she did produce a nice one, so that's good.
All good.
But I'm worried about, I think they're called basors, where the hair accumulates in their tummy. Do you know?
Trichobezoars, yes.
Trichobezoars?
Which is the, yeah, the big word for hairballs.
Yeah, it's psycho.
All right.
So you're worried about her having them, or she is having hairballs? She's vomiting up hairballs?
I'm worried about her having some hair collecting in her gastrointestinal tract, because she seldom brings up any hairballs. Maybe
that's great.
Oops, you're gone. Oh, no, sorry. There's an incoming call. I do apologize.
Oh, that's fine.
It's probably Susan.
I'm ignoring them.
Okay.
Just because she doesn't really cough up hairballs, I think this is only the third time I've seen it in 3 years.
Yeah.
And she is a long-haired
cat. Does she let you comb her or brush her?
Oh, yeah. I brush her. Great. She asks for it.
I don't think you'll have problems. Yeah.
All right.
I think you're doing great with her.
Oh, good.
My one suggestion at night, though, is limit that amount of dry. Don't just put that out free choice.
Oh, yeah,
I
started to measure the kibble.
Good, okay.
Because, between a half cup and 2 cups.
Yeah, they'll make up for it.
Yeah. Well, Joan, thanks a lot.
Yeah, but...
Go ahead.
Okay.
You can finish it up there.
Thank you. Kid. Oh, I guess that she's like close to 20 pounds. I think I should be worried about her weight.
Goodness.
That's a huge cat.
That's a big girl.
My heavens.
She is.
Oh, boy.
She is. That's why I was hoping you could tell me she was definitely a Maine Coon cat heritage.
Well, we don't know without seeing the cat, right?
Right.
But we know the cat's a fatty.
Right.
We know that, right?
She's a fatty.
Okay,
she's a definite obese girl.
Okay. Well,
and it's just hard with the skinny one being so athletic.
Yeah. So
I watch them eat.
Now I got the Abbott and Costello thing. Yeah, I see. It's like a Laurel and Hardy
Absolutely.
Thing. Yeah. All right.
No, it's definitely Abbott Costello.
Okay. Well,
some personality.
Joan, we got to go, but thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number.
Just one quick thing, Ray, on that.
Yeah.
The hairball thing.
Yeah.
We just attended this great conference on our Veterinary Information Network, and his comment was that if the cat vomits more than twice a month of hairballs, there's a problem.
Yeah.
So we need to share that, because everybody goes, cats always have hairballs.
So let me ask you a question.
They shouldn't.
You know, we talk about the diversification of cat foods, and so I go through the aisle every month, and I'm looking
at tons of it. Yes.
What's with the dry cat food that protects the cat from the hairballs? What's in it?
Probably has some type of a coating on the dry food that's sort of like the old Lexatone, you know, that had a little bit of mineral oil on it to help.
Help pass the... It won't dissolve the hairballs.
No, right.
Okay.
Yep, it'll lubricate them out. But if your cat is vomiting hairballs 2 times a week or more, you need to address that.
So you did a whole conference of vets
on
hairballs.
Chronic vomiting. No, not just hairballs, but chronic vomiting in cats.
Very interesting.
2 hours of we talked about it. Can you just imagine? It was
wonderful. This is what they call an occupational hazard, Dr. Cicculli, and also this program, and we thank you for being here. Anita in Clinton. Anita, you're on.
Hi, doctor. I have a very young, athletic cat. She's a year and a half. And she tells me I'm not feeding her enough. I give her one can of Fancy Feast, that's 3 ounces, and an eighth of a cup of Science Diet Dry. She's 10.4 pounds, and I haven't weighed her in the last month. So
you need to
give her
more.
I just wondered if I should up.
Yes, you should.
Pardon?
Yes, you should. You need to give her more.
Okay.
She is hungry.
How much would be? Yeah, she tells me that all the time.
Most adult cats, I say 6 ounces.
Okay.
Of canned food a day.
A day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some cats even 9 ounces, but that between that 6 and 9 is when they can gain weight. So you do have to watch that. But yeah, up it to twice a day of that 3-ounce can.
Anita, thanks a lot. We'll take a quick break here with Dr. Susan Ciculli, and then we'll hit the email bag and then back to the phones. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back. Fox Pop on WAMC Pets and Vets with Dr. Susan Ciculli. Our number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And Dr. Ciculli will hit the email bag. This is from Jody in Stone Ridge. Jody says, can you guide me to some good dog food recipes? I prefer to make the food our dogs eat. We have a 2-year-old Tibetan cotton mix, or C-O-T-O-N. I don't know what kind of dog that is, but it's a Tibetan cotton mix, and that is from Jody in Stone Ridge.
Hi, Jody. I think you've left me.
Do you want a lifeline? Do you want to phone a friend?
Yeah,
could we? Okay.
Yeah, where is Chris? Dr. Chris Dallas.
Where is Chris Dallas? Darn it all.
That's right, Chris. Okay. This one's on you. However, I will caution you, ask your vet that you go to. They have some great resources, and keep asking. You know, keep looking for information. When I mentioned the Cornell Nutrition, involve a veterinarian in it. It's not me, unfortunately. I don't have that experience. Even on the cat world, I don't physically help our clients with the homemade diets, but I do direct them to, again, Cornell. There's some holistic veterinarians. Dr. Dallas is awesome at, you know, giving advice on which diets to go with.
So. This email from another vet. This is from, I won't say her name. But
is that Dr. Carey?
No.
Okay.
And this,
she's a lifeline, too.
This person says, our pets are very important members of the family. I'd just like to make sure somebody mentions that acupuncture and chiropractic can be very effective, helping especially older dogs manage pain and mobility. A cold laser and PEMF, as well as herbal medicines, can be used as well. In my practice, I have helped many senior pets live their last years with a lot more grace and enjoyment. And that is one thing Chris Dallas talks about who's usually on this program.
But absolutely.
We're with you there. So thank you for that email. This one is from Suzanne. Oh, my God. This is a long email.
It is.
Oh, by the way, if you're emailing, make them as detailed as they have to be, but... You know, the Communist Manifesto, it's a little long. All right, this one says, my 13-year-old cat Wilson has lymphoma and is being treated by your office. Shout out to a great vet office. He was diagnosed a few months ago after sonograms, x-rays, and blood tests. He is on chemo med, chlorambucil 3 times a week, IBD meds, prednisolone 2 times a day, a Proviable and a clay mix for IBD from your office, and a vitamin B shot weekly. He's been in treatment for 3 weeks. I know it takes a few weeks of treatment before he can be reevaluated, so we will see then. My concerns are these two issues. Missing the litter box by a lot, as in the basement is a minefield. Oh. There only is peace in the house if I can beat my husband to the basement. Also, the guy's hungry like no one's business. Mm-hmm. He eats a can of wet food, the good stuff, twice a day, plus handfuls of dry a couple times a day, but he will hunt for food as he is literally crazy about food. He will tear through the grocery bags to eat the hamburger bun wrapper to get the bread or any cold cuts he can. Good Lord, Suzanne, you're describing my children. I have to lock him in the basement in order to unload the groceries, and we store all the bread items in the cupboards. Are these issues linked to the lymphoma in any way, or is he just really, really hungry?
Wow. Well, I'm
happy. The show's over now, Suzanne.
We're done. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that he is eating. And yes, that is the challenge. I think lymphoma or any of those, even inflammatory bowel disease, they have issues with absorbing.
Yeah.
So I think he is eating, but not all the nutrients. And it is similar on the human side. People with cancer lose weight, right? Even though they eat, they are in a hypermetabolic rate. So keep going with it. Don't give up yet. And I think the inappropriate defecating issues hopefully will resolve, at least improve a little.
Okay.
Second, maybe third, fourth litter boxes. I don't know if that
okay.
would help.
All right. Well,
a little bit more.
Why not? Buy a few more. This one is from Mary Beth, not Susan, in New York, New York. Mary Beth writes, that's funny.
We got sense of humor.
Everybody's on board.
People.
Mary Beth, who we'll just call Susan, writes, my two-year-old Yorkie Kiki uses the wee-wee pad in my apartment, but when I go to anyone else's abode, she seems to not want to use the pad. Mm. I've sprayed the pad with a house-breaking spray, but that doesn't seem to help. My first Yorkie, R.I.P. Buffy, was the same way. I do take Kiki for walks, but I would like her to use the wee-wee pad.
Oh, I bet that's related to where the wee-wee pad is in her house and the correlation of that.
Right.
Oh, that's a tough one to change, and I will put my other help wanted.
So you won't be, you don't have any thoughts on that?
No, help me out here, Ray.
Well, I mean, frankly, I'm just astonished that after all this radio experience, I finally got to say wee-wee pad. So that's about all I can bring to the table.
Oh, but I feel your pain because that's the whole point of training them to use the pad, right?
Right.
So that
but
they
wait,
should
now,
use it.
But wait, I don't understand from the email. So Mary Beth will bring this wee-wee pad wherever she goes.
Yep. And it won't, the dog won't use it at the other house, but the dog will use it at her house.
Right.
Because of the location, because of the training associated with it. So.
Okay. Well, that's a toughie, right?
Yeah, that's a really tough
okay.
one.
Okay. Sorry about that one. All right. One more email, and then we'll hit the phones for the home stretch. This one's from Paul. No, we'll make it two more because this one just came in. All right. Is this even real? My cat Monkey has thumbs. How rare is this? And can this be the reason he's such a lunatic? Do cats have thumbs?
They do.
Really?
Yeah, they're... I mean, well, other than the polydactyls that everyone knows about from Hemingway.
Right.
You know, those Key West. But they have some breeds will have this, the first digit on each of the front feet will be a little more detached than the rest.
You're kidding
me. And they can use them a little
bit. So they have opposable thumbs.
Yeah. Yep. And they move.
Wow.
It's cool.
That I did not know that. But does that correlate at all with insanity?
I don't know if I've ever correlated that at all.
All right, well, we'll just have to look into that a little further. Last email, and then to the phones we will go. This one's from Layla. Our cat is hooked on bisque, a gravy in a small and costly packet. Is there a recipe for gravy we could make for these little imps?
Oh, that's
more than one
cat. Great question.
And I know exactly what Layla's talking about because our cat digs that too.
Ah.
And it's a buck a pouch ish. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
See, there you go. That whole marketing for food, cat
you
food.
Betcha.
You know why there's so many different flavors of it. I've tried taking the good food, the canned good food pate, and adding water to it and making that into a gravy.
Oh, genius.
So, but some cats know better and then they still won't eat that. But yes, there is a lot of science involved. They have lots of research going on what's palatable, what's not.
Yeah.
You know,
the
choices.
All right. So,
cats.
So now we're going to go to, I believe, Delmar. And hello, you're on. What is your name?
My name is Lauren.
Aha. All right, Lauren, you're on.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, Dr. Sekouli, for taking my call. I'm calling because I have two cats that are rescues. They're like 7-ish and 4-ish years old. The older one is a female, and she has horrible urinary issues that began 2 years ago. But I was fortunate enough that I met a veterinarian where I used to live who prescribed her some prescription diets that dissolved all of her stones, and she is going to live like an awesome, long, happy, healthy life.
Yay.
She's the coolest cat I've ever met and, you know, my best friend, so we're happy about that.
Cool. Great.
My questions are, now that she's been on this for a couple of years and her little brother eats it too, they're not like family related, they're just, I have two cats.
Yeah.
But our vet said he can eat that too, no problem, because it's too hard to separate cats that are on separate diets. But they've been on it for a couple of years, and I noticed like their breath smells and things like that. So in terms of long-term stuff, like what should I be watching for with their teeth and their weight if they're both eating this? Can my cat ever have a treat again? And what can I really do to mitigate her litter box anxiety that she still has? So those are my questions for you, my cat who has bladder stones that come and go.
Okay.
Those are good questions.
Yeah.
Great questions. Congratulations. I'm glad you were able to get those stones dissolved. Is this a Hill's SD diet, or do you know the name?
Oh, she was on that. No, she was on Hill's. She was actually originally on the Royal Canin stuff, but they changed the formula, and we go back and forth between the Hill's and the Purina STOX. Just based, she has flavor preferences, so I switch it up, and we have two prescriptions.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, yes, you can keep them on that long-term, and I agree. It's harder to separate them out, and you're absolutely right. Now, because they're on an all-can diet, you need to do something for those teeth to give them an ability to crunch. I like Hill's TD a lot. It's a dry.
Is that T as in Charlie?
T as in Thomas. Okay.
Tango Delta.
TD. Teeth.
Got it.
So.
Oh, teeth. That makes sense.
I know you could easily give it to your other cat that doesn't have any urinary problems. I'd let your vet decide whether the cat with the urinary problems has the ability to have that. If not, then you're going to have to figure out how to do brushing at home or have yearly dental cleaning.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Dental cleanings help too.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Lauren, for the call. We appreciate it. Over to Ballston Lake. Diane, how's the weather up there?
I got some dark clouds going over me as I'm sitting in my car.
Okay.
Two sprinkles.
Yeah. But you're on. Go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know that my middle name is Sue.
Well, welcome aboard.
For real. Oh, that's funny.
For real. My question is, I have two cats, a 7-year-old female and almost 3-year-old male kitty. And they've always gotten along. However, lately my 7-year-old female has been aggressive towards the male cat for no reason. And the female cat is overweight, probably 25, 30 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And I've been separating them in different rooms, like even at night. And I just don't know if I should bring the cat to the vet to get a checkup.
I think I would for her. Yeah, just to check something out, make sure that, you know, she's now being a little more irritable or maybe something's going on that, you know, cats are really good at hiding stuff.
Yeah.
So I might check that out. Is there any other cats outside that maybe upset her and now she's taking it out on
No. Okay. I keep them strictly indoors, and they've always gotten along.
Yep.
And it's just very perplexing because I hate leaving them separated like that in different rooms.
And
they're used to being together, and they do play, but all of a sudden this just happened yesterday.
And you tried the feel away and stuff?
Thank you, Dr. Ray.
No, it's my pleasure. Well, go ahead, Dr. Cicoli.
No, you go. No, you were right.
No.
The feel away is either a spray or a diffuser that helps with the interaction of cats.
Oh, where would I get that?
Multi.
Is that a prescription thing? Oh, you can get it at the pet store?
Yep.
Oh.
Yes. Use your local pet store.
And so it's pheromones, right?
It is, yeah. Yeah, so it's to if they're having some interaction. So there's two types of the feel away. One is for the spraying cat, and one's for the interaction cat. So it would be the multi cat feel away.
Okay,
that's a good start.
But then try to figure out what ultimately is dealing with this. What triggered this? Is it something with her, and when I asked about them going outside, there can be a cat outside that she's upset with, and then she takes it out on him because she can't reach that cat. So look for maybe
now
a new cat.
Yep.
Yes.
It's an age-old story, really. Diane, thanks a lot for the call. And now we go to Ray in Albany. Ray, you're on.
Ray, how are you?
Oh, good. Ray, how are you?
Oh, I see why you got answered. He's feeling a little outnumbered.
Ray's been waiting a half an hour. There's no favoritism here. Go ahead, Ray. You're on.
We're breaking the monopoly.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, okay.
You are,
is your wife's name Ray or Susan?
All right.
No. Although, I'll say there seems to be a Venn diagram of women named Susan and Vox Pop listeners. And
isn't that interesting? Yes.
It is.
All right, go ahead.
So here's my question. I have two cats, and they're quite young, 3 years old, and for the most part, they're very, very healthy, except the younger one. He has sort of a perennial issue with a stuffy nose in one particular nostril, and our vet, after sort of a cursory And now they suggested that it could be feline herpes. And so we received some treats and some powder to add to his food, and it didn't seem to help. And so I guess I'm wondering, sight unseen, does that seem like the likeliest scenario to you? If not, what might it be? And what can we do to help ease his suffering? And he's generally sort of a sneezy cat, too.
Hmm.
Okay. And are you seeing a lot of discharge when he sneezes?
Generally, no. And as he's gotten older, reoccurrences of this have become rarer and rarer. So
okay.
Whereas it might have happened every month previously, now we're on a, you know, every quarter calendar.
Okay. So it is probably my most common, I agree with your vet, the most common reason for the sneezing in cats, especially younger ones. The herpes is a common, frustrating reason for the upper respiratories. We can also see it from just allergies, you know, the different pollens that are in the air, the trees, the grasses,
yeah,
et cetera, if it tends to be seasonal. And then as they get older, I worry more about cancer or something else in the nostrils. But if he's young and acting, the lysine is probably what he was prescribed, some type of a lysine supplement.
Did we lose Ray?
Okay, great.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
Yeah, and so should we should just continue giving him his, you know, medicated treats?
Yes. Yep. Yes, I would, especially if they do seem to be helping.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. And now we have a few minutes here. Another person has been waiting half an hour, Wayne in Glenville. Wayne, you're on.
Excellent. Thank you for taking my call. First off, obviously, my name is not Sue.
No, or Ray.
Or Ray.
Yeah, there you go. Well, all the same.
I do have a bit of insight as to the pee pad problem. I found that when I quit drinking tequila, my aim improved greatly.
Hey now, ba-dum bump. Oh, I'm glad it's the end of the show, Wayne.
Oh, man. You can't stand Ray up now. He's got to be able to come back with something on that one.
All right, what else
that
you got?
That was good.
Drink tequila. He'll have plenty of stories.
Yeah, you know, I already do.
But the reason for my call is I have a 13-year-old Manx cat. And, you know, she's healthy and active and just quite the character. But she's 13, and I don't know how long their life expectancy is. Do you have any insight on that?
Yeah, the ones that we have had at the clinic, you know, the 13 to 15-year range is probably, they're not as, I think Siamese still by far lasts the longest. Is there any health problems with her? Have you had any constipation issues?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no problems with that.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, she has not gotten the memo that she's 13. She still thinks she's 3 and
excellent.
Such.
Oh, you're doing great with her. So I'll predict,
yeah,
18 to
cat.
19. How's that?
Oh, great. So I have another 6 years of service. Okay.
Well, yes. You know what? We only have about 30 seconds left here, Wayne. And good luck with the pee pad and the tequila and whatnot. Thank you for the call. You know what, Susan Ciculli, this was fun.
It was. I love coming back into the studio.
It really is. It's great to have you back, and it makes things so much more enjoyable to do the show this way. So hopefully there are no more pandemics in our future.
No,
you know?
No. We've passed that.
Now, how do people find Just Cats on the old internet?
JustCatsVet.com.
And yeah.
I am in both Gilderland now and Saratoga Springs. I have a second location.
How do you split time there? I mean, you can't really bilocate, right?
I have an amazing staff now with wonderful doctors that they're able to support when I'm doing this.
And so basically, great. You just walk in occasionally to these locations and say, hey, sit down, see? What are you? Hey, listen, so much fun to have you here, and we will talk to you soon. Maybe Chris will join you next time.
Yes, we will make sure.
If he's not too busy. Support comes from Siegel Festival, presenting an opera scenes program July 14th at 7:30 p.m. and July 17th at 2 p.m. SiegelFestival.org for schedule and tickets. And Audio Services NY, providing custom design and installation of automation systems for residential and commercial projects, audio, video, lighting control, Wi-Fi, AudioServicesNY.com. Once again, thanks to Dr. Susan Ciculli for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the calls. And I apologize if you waited a long time and didn't get through. Dr. Susan Ciculli is very popular, but she will be back again. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered. by Lisa Burton. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on the show, it's astronomy, and that's tomorrow at 2. Right now, stand by for 51%.